Our dear Heavenly Father, it is with gratitude that we come before your throne of grace this evening, thanking you, O Heavenly Father, for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon each one of us, thanking you especially for this opportunity that we have tonight to worship your holy name, to listen to your words being told to us by your preacher. And we would ask, O Heavenly Father, that you would open the mind and the tongue of that preacher who is to stand before us, that he may give us the words of life, that he may bestow upon us your will, that we may be able to regulate our lives and be pleasing unto you. O Heavenly Father, we ask your forgiveness wherein we have fallen short. We ask not only your forgiveness, we ask your correction, that we may be able to turn our lives and do those things that you would have us to do. O Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing upon the sick and the afflicted. We ask a blessing upon those who are seeking you within the world. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, that you would give us the strength and the courage that we may be able to tell all that we come in contact with the beautiful, wonderful story of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his mission into this world. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would come down in this meeting and touch each and every one of us and give us that assurance, O Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit is with us tonight. And we pray these things and give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. We're now going to be blessed with a special number.
Who am I that he should love me and offer me his kingdom for my own? Who am I that he should die for me, a sacrifice unlike I've ever known? Who am I that he would heal me and take me by the hand and make me whole? Who am I that he would lift my soul and make my burden light? Who am I? Who am I that he should pay the price and spare me all the pain I might have known? And who am I that he would live his life to show me how to love so that I could be with him once more? Who am I? What miracle is this, that he should come to bless a simple child as I? Who am I that he should find the way to mend a broken heart? Who am I? Who am I that he should pay the price and spare me all the pain I might have known? And who am I that he would give his life to show me how to love so that I can be with him once more? Who am I? What miracle is this, that he should come to bless a simple child as I? Who am I that he would find a way to mend a broken heart? To mend my broken heart. Who am I?
There's a goodly number here tonight, and I think we're here to be fed of the Lord. I think we're here to worship His name. And I think we're here because this is the place that each one of us desire to be. And if we pray together and ask God to touch the heart and mind of our brother tonight, we will receive those things that each one of us stand in need of. And we will hear the word of God. So give our brother your prayers, your attention, and your smiles. Elder Steve McGee.
Hello. I'm happy to be here. Happy I heard the sermon this afternoon by our brother Jim, and I can say amen to most everything, well, everything that he had to say. Maybe most especially the height of this pulpit. I have bifocals, so it makes it a little difficult here. I think that's what he was referring to this afternoon. But I am happy to stand here before you. And I'm up here wondering why Mike and Roland asked me to preach when I look out and I see so many more capable speakers than I sitting out in this congregation. Maybe when we're through, you're going to be wondering the same thing. I hope not. I thought about this afternoon calling Roland and telling him that the dog ate my sermon, but I didn't think that would work, especially if I don't have a dog. So didn't think that was going to work. That's probably the last levity that you're going to hear this evening. What I have to say, I know is serious. This gospel is serious. This work that is before us is most serious and most urgent. We come here at a reunion, and I love reunions. You know, you can reflect back upon past reunions and think about what you gained. It may be the time that you really made a commitment to the Lord. I don't know. It may be the time when the Spirit first touched your heart in great abundance. But I can look back and see many, many things that happened to me during a reunion time. And that's what they're all about. And we can come and reflect upon that. And it's what it is a gathering, whether we can come together and reflect upon those things again as a group instead of individuals and gain strength from us, each other, as a group. And maybe listen to some sermons that will enlighten us and maybe chastise us, maybe cause us to come up to a higher plane and reevaluate what we have to do in this work. And that's what I hope to do this evening. And you can ask yourself, why did I come? Was it for the strength, for the unity, for the comfort? Maybe it's because of your weakness. Maybe because you felt that you haven't been quite as close spiritually, or you've maybe neglected the spiritual side of your life somewhat. And this is a way to reactivate it, to rejuvenate. Maybe you want that same feeling that you had at the time of your baptism and the laying on of hands for that reception of the Holy Ghost. I don't know, you know. I don't know. And maybe it's all these things, but we all can think about that, and I hope we do. But I tell you a statement that I don't like, a statement that I've heard from time to time during reunions, during Sunday meetings, that it's to recharge us that we might have strength to resist the temptations and the sins that come upon us. And, you know, I don't like to hear that, mainly because I would hope that we're beyond that. I would hope, as the body of Christ, we already have that capability through His Spirit and in His Spirit to resist those things. I would hope that we come here to get a greater portion of that Spirit, that we might do that work that we've been called to do. I would like to think that we've come here that we might grow to perfection. I look out at this congregation and I see many people that are on that path to perfection, that are seeking to be filled with the love of Jesus Christ and what that means. And I see some of us maybe are faltering. Or maybe we're satisfied. I want to turn for an opening scripture. I'm not going to have as many scriptures as our brother Jim did this afternoon, but I'm going to have a few. I'm going to turn to a favorite of mine, one that I use over and over and over again, and I think because it describes me. I'm going to turn into Hebrews, the fifth chapter. I'm not going to read the same two verses that our brother Jim read, but I'm going to start down a little lower. I used this, I think, last week when I was in charge of a Wednesday evening prayer service. Starting with the 12th verse. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. I have that underlined in my Bible. I hope you have that underlined in your Bible. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's use of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Those who by reason of use. I want to talk to a group of people who are ready to receive the meat. I don't want to touch on the basics. I don't want to even refer to the basics. I want us as a group and you as an individual to be beyond that. And that's what he's saying here. This is what is being told to the Hebrews. That's the same thing that our brother said a long time ago. And he had the same hope that I do. And he says in the sixth chapter, beginning, Therefore, it's a continuing thought. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, I'm not going to preach those basics to you. You know them. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And if Tony Grinzik was here, he would jump up and say, you misquoted that. And Mike knows what I'm talking about. I said baptism. It's baptisms. He would have, too. Or he would have at least raised his hand. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the heavenly ghost, and that's each one of us right here, right now. That's you. That's me. And have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's you. That's me. And if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. This is why I don't want to preach this. We need to be beyond this. Again, under repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. I'm here at this reunion to evaluate myself, to evaluate my path, my work, my efforts, and yes, I'm comparing. I know that I'm not supposed to compare myself to any one of you, but I do. But I do. And a great deal of the time I find myself short, very short. That's why I'm here, to look at my pathway and my work and what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. And yes, to receive of that Spirit. I want to turn into the Old Testament, into Jeremiah, the sixth chapter. Sixteenth and 17th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. This is what we're here. Are you standing in the way? Evaluate. And ask for the old paths. That's what's being preached. That's what's being taught. Wherein is the good way? and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen, ministers, preachers over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Walk therein. You know, to me, when I walk, I walk. You know, I'm not one of these that moseys. I move right out. And I think that's what's meant here, to move out in this path that we've chosen, to actually do something physical. That's the old path. That's the right way. That's the way that I have chosen. That's why I was called of God. In the Book of Mormon, it tells us what our purpose is. And it's to keep the commandments of God, but it's also to glorify Him. We glorify God by our actions and our deeds and our works in this path. And it says, if you do that, what's going to happen? I love these. If you do it, this is going to happen. These promises, and are true. You're going to find rest for your souls. Contentment, happiness, joy, peace. You're going to find those things for your soul, rest for your soul, if you do what? Walk the walk. What was the answer? He says, we will not walk therein. We're not going to hearken. I hope that's not what we're saying. No, we're not going to openly say that. I hope none of us would openly say that. But are we saying that in our efforts? That's what he's talking about here, folks. He's talking about effort, physical effort for the Lord. Are we saying, I'm not going to hearken, I'm not going to walk? Our efforts have to be more than keeping ourselves sin-free. Yes, there are promises that he offers us if we do that. But he wants so much more for you and I. You know, the old covenant made that promise, you know. And he gave us things to follow. Well, he put something in my heart and your heart that was more. He gave us a new covenant to follow, a new walk to walk, a spirit to follow, a joy. All this leads us somewhere, you know? It leads us somewhere. It leads us to the love of Christ. It leads us to his nature. You know, that's what I want. I want to partake of Jesus Christ's nature. You know, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about the merits of Jesus Christ. It says, rely wholly upon the merits of Jesus Christ. Have you thought about what that is? Yeah, it's the love of Jesus Christ. It's a totally selfless desire. A desire for you and I. And that's the merits. That's the merits that makes him mighty to save. I want you to feel that. That's what we're called to feel. We are the body of Christ. I just hope my efforts and your efforts are not saying, I'm not going to do it. You know? I'm not going to do it. I want to read from Alma. Somewhere in Alma. Fifth chapter of Alma. And as we read this, as we go through the Book of Mormon, we read this, I want you to ask yourself, is this God's perception of you? When he's looking down at you and your actions and your deeds, is this what he is seeing? Starting with the 33rd verse. For I perceive that you are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that you are in the paths which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that you are making his paths straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of the word that he cannot walk, that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he has said, neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right or to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. So is yours. You started with God, and that's where we're going to end up. We're going to end up right there at judgment. You're going to be judged, and I'm going to be judged on our efforts. You know, our brother talked about works this morning. We're going to be judged. It's not how the church did. The church isn't going to be judged. You're going to be judged. I'm going to be judged. I can't rely on the efforts of our apostles, of Brother Frank and Buzz and Mike. And I cannot, when I stand before God, he said, what did you do, Steve? What did you do? Well, I didn't sin. It's not going to make it. It will not make it. It's how I've walked. How I've walked that path and what I've done. Have I made an effort to make that path crowded? Have you? Or have I centered right down the center of that path and not looking to the right or the left and pass some people by? I'm going to turn to Helaman. Fifth chapter. Starting, read two verses, 85, 86. And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth perisheth unto himself. I can't save my sons, my daughter-in-laws, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my nieces, my nephews. I can't do it. But guess what I can do? I can help keep them on the path. And that guy walking down the street, I can help bring him on that path. And whosoever doeth iniquity doeth it unto himself. For behold, you are free. You are permitted to act for yourselves. For behold, God hath given you unto you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. And he hath given unto you that you might know good from evil. And he hath given unto you that you might choose life or death. And ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or you can do evil, or you can do nothing. and have that which is evil restored unto you, and receive nothing, if that's what you choose to do. If that's what I choose to do. This activity needs to be concerned for the souls. Let's put it on a people. People. We're talking about people. People that you know. People that are not here. People that are not in the church. That's what our activity needs to be about. Their souls brought into the kingdom of God. If the love of Jesus Christ is in us, that's what we want. It's more than what we want. It's what we'll do. That's what's good. That's what he's talking about here. It's what's good. I'm turn to Revelations. Maybe I am going to use as many scriptures as our brother. You don't need to turn to us. You know it. The third chapter of Revelations, the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th verse. And it's been read. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would thou wert hot or cold or hot. I would that you either had the love of Jesus Christ driving you or not. Not somewhere in between. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, Man, does this sound familiar? I know I'm blessed. I know I am blessed. I know I am. I have marvelous children and daughter-in-laws and in-laws and outlaws and grandchildren. I know that I am blessed. I know they're gifts of God. For me to do nothing? For me to be satisfied with that? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Walk therein, and thou shalt find rest for your soul. That's the gold. You think you have it all? I am a pretty happy guy. I am a pretty contented fella. You know, I've got three grandchildren. I've got two more on the way. And I'll, after the service, ask me about it. I'll tell you how happy I am. But what's this scripture say? I think I'm rich, but unless I have this gold that he's talking about, I am wretched. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Without the works, without that activity in this gospel, we're naked. Do you have a plan on how to do this? Do you have a goal? You know, my youngest son preached about 4 weeks ago. I'm not supposed to be proud, but I'm proud. And he preached about peace. And he defined peace by giving you the opposite of peace, defining what it wasn't. And he also described how to achieve it. And he got right down, finally, to prayer and study. Prayer and study. And seeking the Lord. And then you get it. Then you get it. And I know that works. I know that works. So, what about this plan and this goal? You know, I'm a mechanic of sorts, you know. Work with my older brother, my son, and I'm not a real good mechanic. I'm a pretty good parts changer, but I'm not a real good mechanic. But I'm fast, you know. I'm very fast. Not as fast as I was 30 years ago, but I'm still pretty fast. Now, Mike, on the other hand, plans. Okay, my goal is to get a job in and see how fast I can do that. Wham, 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 you know. Done. Mike plans. And he has a goal. His goal is to get it done just like my goal is to get it. But he does have a plan, and things are thought out, you know. When Mike pulls apart a water pump with 33,000 bolts on it, they're all laid out in order, you know, where he can plan just, he might even mark them with chalk, right, to how they go back in. Well, not this guy, you know. Mine's, everything's in a big bag, and doesn't work, pull it out and try it in another hole, you know. But I have a goal. I do have a goal, you know. My plan is to do it, you know, whichever way. But I do have a goal. So it is in this gospel. You know, that's my profession. That's what I do to make a living. But, you know, this is my profession. This is my profession. And this is your profession. If you were called and you accepted the call, and you were baptized, and you had hands laid upon your head, this is your profession. And if it's your profession, you better have a plan, and you better have a goal. And it's just not to keep yourself unspotted in this world. And it's just not to talk to your children and your grandchildren, your wife, and people in this congregation about the gospel. And make sure they're on the straight and narrow. It includes that. But if that's all it is, I'm not so sure that you have and I have what's needed at the last day. That's the pure love of Christ. The fact is, if that's all it is, I'm sure I don't have it. I'm sure I don't have it. Because the scriptures tell me I don't have it. If I had it, I couldn't stand the thought of one soul being lost. And if I couldn't stand the thought of one soul being lost, I'd do something. Otherwise, I would live my life in torment. What do you think? I mean, isn't that what Christ was doing when he stood before Jerusalem and he cried? And he cried, and he cried. You think there's a plan and a goal in the Philippines? Is there a plan and a goal? There's a plan and a goal in the Philippines. There's what, 3,000 members?
Yeah, some, a lot.
In what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years. What have we got? Maybe 4,000 in Africa and in 6 years, somewhere around there. Somewhere around there. It's. What do we got in the United States? 2,200, 2,300 for what? 10 years? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? So what's your goal? What's your plan? What's my goal? What's my plan? I've been to the Philippines once. I've never been to Africa. I live here in this community, in this United States, for 57 years. I know I look older than that, but that's how old I am. I know I look older than that. Doesn't bother me when people think Mike is the younger. It doesn't bother me a bit. So what's the plan? I don't know how many we got in this congregation. Right here. How many baptized members do you think we got? 200? Probably. Close to 200? Hope there's a plan. Not the church plan. Your plan. What did I just read? Church isn't going to save me. Church isn't going to save you. The church isn't in the path. You're in the path. I'm in the path. And it's one eternal round, and it leads straight back to somebody's going to judge you. Yeah, I love that the Church of Christ is throughout the world and doing well. How much did I have besides my money in that? I want to turn to, I guess I am going to have as many scriptures as Jim. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Yeah, 10th chapter. The 32nd, 33rd verse state, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my heavenly before my Father which is in heaven." Mike's used this, and I don't want you to think of it in the wrong way. You can snicker if you want, but I had a great grandmother, and she was a character. I mean, she was a character. She didn't use a whole lot. She didn't talk a lot. But she had very colorful phrases. Some of them I cannot repeat. Okay? But when she talked and she used these phrases, they always meant something, you know, other than to be cute. They weren't meant to be cute. And one of them, She'd say it, and she'd say it seriously. It wasn't to make you laugh. She said, "Talk's cheap, but it takes money to buy whiskey." Okay? And she meant it. You know, it's not enough to confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth. It's just not enough. It's not enough to keep yourself unspotted in this world. You confess Jesus Christ with your actions and with your deeds and with your efforts and your works while you're here. I would hope and pray that path is crowded. And I would hope and pray that it's crowded because of the efforts, not of just the ministry in this congregation and in this church, of the baptized members in this church, which is their duty and our duty and our work. And if it doesn't happen, we're walking a crooked path. Now we're going to end up the same place. But they're going to know we walked a crooked path. I want to turn to 2 Peter. third chapter. And I'll start with the first verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that's, we see it. I mean, we're there, you know, we're there. We can see that. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You know, I like that phrase where it says they are willingly ignorant of. You know, what that denotes to me is they had the truth expressed to them. They had the truth delivered to them. They had one of the people in the Church of Christ come up and tell them of the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell them about Jesus Christ and what's going to happen, and they didn't want to believe it. Not because there was not an effort made. They're willingly ignorant of it. They don't want to hear it. 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Not willing. This is the Lord. This is Jesus Christ. Not willing that any should perish. What am I? What am I but the body of Christ? What are you if you're not a part of the body of Christ? Nothing. You are. Are you not willing that any should perish? Is that your will? It's the Lord's will. I thought our will and the Lord's will are supposed to be one. And if they are, and I'm his body, the guy who has the arms and the legs and the mouth here to do something about it, I'm called to do it. But that all should come to repentance. But, even though it's his will that none should be lost, not this guy walking down the sidewalk with a bottle of whiskey in his hip pocket. He's not willing that this man should be lost. But, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The works that we do in the name of the Lord and for the Lord and for the guy walking down the street It's not going to be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Here we are. We're in church and we are talking the talk. Yes, we are. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is going to happen. You know? It's going to happen. Nevertheless, even though it's going to happen, according to His promise, nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him, the Lord and Savior, in peace. That's what my son preached on. Spiritual peace, physical peace, meekness, humility, merciful, that kind of peace. That's what he's talking about. Along with physical peace. Without spot. Not sinning. Keeping yourself from those sins and temptations. But the last one. Whoa. The last one. And blameless. The Lord's not willing that any should be lost. Are you willing? If that's your goal, if that's your work, if that's your effort, the Lord's going to come and just say, thank you for walking the walk and doing the effort. For doing all you could while you were here to keep that straight path crowded, to keep it full. Thank you for having the same nature as me. Thank you for not willing that any should be lost. Thank you. I want each one of us to achieve that's what we're called to do, that nature of Christ. It's something that we work for. It's something that I desire. It's something that I'll continue to work for, Lord willing. It's something that you should work for, Lord willing, while you're walking this walk. I have a hard time ending. Just the way I am, I have a hard time closing. But I'm going to close. And I'm not going to close with the upteen zillion scriptures I've got left. But I'm just going to remind you and plead with you that you not get upset with what I've delivered, but that you think about what I've delivered. And you think, more than think, that you actually do something, that you actually think about what your goal is and what your plan is, but more especially, what you've been called to. What you've been called to. It's a glorious calling. And you can ask, and I'll start off on another sermon, but I don't want to do that. You can ask any minister that knows that they've touched the heart and the soul of someone and brought them to Christ and asked them what that feeling's like. And yes, initially, it's exhilarating, but it's the peace and the joy and the happiness and the comfort, knowing that they've done exactly what they've been called to do, what you've been called to do. I want us as a group, but more especially as individuals, to be the body of Christ in deed and not just in talk. That's what the Lord wants. I know that's what the Lord wants. And watch our numbers grow. Watch our numbers grow. Thank you.
We have been challenged, so I would expect that this time next year that each one of you will have brought someone new into the kingdom of God. We've been challenged to do that. I turn the mic over to Brother Surratt. Thank you. Go on with your announcement, and then we'll take care of the administration.
If we have a sign-up book out in the foyer, and there was supposed to have been a note here someplace.
Close. Number 288. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, we thank you for the words that we have heard, and we pray each one of us will be able to take these words and put them in our life, and that we may rise to the challenge that not one soul be lost. So, Heavenly Father, give us the strength and the courage to carry out this mission that you have given us. And, O Heavenly Father, help us that we may not fall short. Help us that we may always do thy will, and that we may always please you in all things. O Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing upon the refreshments that will be served, and we ask that they will be used for the betterment of our bodies. And Father, we ask these things in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.